and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review. We are here live on DLive and RadioAlbion.com. That is DLive and RadioAlbion.com. And the replay of this show and all other shows will be on BitChute. That is the replay of this show and all other shows will be on BitChute. Please go and sub my BitChute channel. Please make sure you're over there because all of my new videos, all my previous videos, all episodes of PWR and every single special live stream that I've done, including the election predictions live stream, are over there. But obviously the election is now, I'm going to say been and gone. Well, election day has been and gone, but the election seems to be far from over, and that is what we're going to be talking about tonight. So if you haven't shared this stream, if you haven't put this out on social media, please make sure you do so. And also, if you know the whereabouts of Horace, he doesn't seem to have showed up for the show. So I don't know where he is. I've been trying to contact him. I hope he's okay. But we still have two guests, which is good news. Now, if you want to contribute to the show, that would be absolutely wonderful. Remember, all donations are gratefully received, and any donation goes towards the costs of running PA. These donations allow me to keep doing what I'm doing full-time for this movement, so they are gratefully received. And the best way to donate is via Entropy. The Entropy link is on my Twitter, is on my Telegram, and it is in the live chat now. So that is Entropy. You can send paid super chats. All paid super chats are read out live on the show. All questions are asked to the audience or to the relevant member of the audience. You can also ask non-paid questions, and the best non-paid questions are voted up, and the best ones are asked every week again to the relevant member of the panel or to the panel as a whole, or read out if they're just a good statement. Now, the other way to donate to me is via Bitcoin. You can find my Bitcoin address on my BitChute account, or you can write to me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com. That is the best place to contact me. And if you contact me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com, you can find alternative ways to donate. As I said, all donations are gratefully received, and all donations go towards running Patriotic Alternative and making sure I can work full time on Patriotic Alternative for the good of this movement. Now, that is the very brief intro. I am now going to pass it over to Jason so he can very briefly tell you what he's been up to this week and who's on tap. Then I will introduce our other guests. Then we're going to get into the big issue of the day, which is, of course, this presidential election and what looks like the largest electoral fraud in the history of the world. This is the kind of thing you would see in a banana republic. This is the kind of thing that would happen in some fly-blown backwater, which has a leader with a dubious military name, some jumped-up colonel, some inflated ego captain who claims to run a nation somewhere in Africa. But no, this is America, apparently the world's premier first world nation. But Jason, before we get into that, what have you been up to this week, my friend? Who's on tap? Say something, my friend, because I have got so much to say. But before I say it, please introduce yourself.
Well, we'll just do introductions now. We've got plenty to say. A lot went on last night, even here where I live and throughout DC. So quite a few things. There's going to be a tap this week, Thursday or Saturday is my guess. Probably not Friday, but Thursday or Saturday. And I want to highlight HB2014. He's one of our great content creators, and you should be following him on Twitter. Great guy. And I'll be sharing his link over the course of the stream tonight. But it's great to be here with Renew Britannia and Euro again. Very excited to talk with you all. And just say that this is what's happening with this election. We'll be digging into it, as Mark said. But exactly as we anticipated, as far as the legal battles that are taking place, but the exact way that they're trying to pull the coup off is, I guess the details were yet to be entirely known, but I'll pass it back and we'll talk about it over the course of the show.
Well, thank you, Jason. As I said, my feelings It's been like being on a roller coaster, actually. My feelings have gone from confident to happy to elated to basically complete disbelief. But before we get into this, let's introduce the other panel members. Now, the first guest tonight, Horace, he seems to have not, he's not arrived. So hopefully he will be here with us shortly. But putting that to one side, we have the amazing Wesley Renew Britannia. He's been a guest before on our show. He had an excellent YouTube channel up until today, when unfortunately he was deplatformed. Now, he is also the host of The After Show, which is on Monday night and follows on from Patriotic Talk. He is one of our most talented young content creators. And I've got to say, I feel absolutely gutted for him. Losing his YouTube channel is obviously a big blow. Let's not beat around the bush. I know he sounds very, very chipper today because I've been speaking to him. He seems to have his head up despite this setback. I hope he's got a BitChute channel, but yesterday we saw BitChute aggressively attacked, and we're going to go a bit into that later because the people who attacked it were indeed the usual suspects. I might throw up their website on screen as Wesley introduces himself. But Wesley, you're an incredibly talented guy. It's a brilliant, brilliant thing to have you on the show again. Please tell us a bit about yourself. Please talk about this deplatforming and tell us where we can find you. Hopefully you've got a BitChute channel or other alternative media links that we can share during the show.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Mark, and thank you, Mark, for having me on again, Jason and Euro. I'm sure we're going to have a great show tonight. Unfortunately, obviously it's a blow to have your YouTube channel taken away, but as you said, I'm still chipper. And do you know why? Because when I got into this, you know, I knew what was stacked against us. I knew it was very unlikely that my YouTube channel would be around by the end of the year. And hey, look, would you look at that? I was right. So I'm actually not too demoralized because I already knew it was going to happen, right? So I was already anticipating it. But yes, obviously, I do have alternative links. I've got BitChute, Renew Britannia, DLive, Renew Britannia, and Telegram as well. Those are the main ones I use. But even though it's a blow, I can't really get too down about it, really. After all, I'm still in the community. I am the host of The After Show, so I'm still around. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, that is good to hear, my friend. I'm pleased you're so upbeat about this. I don't know whether you can see this clearly on the screen, but the people behind the takedown of BitChute, God, that's just popped out, hasn't it? Jewish journalism. Yes, because in fact, the Jewish News Syndicate has reported that British lawyers activists seek to dismantle racist, anti-Semitic YouTube alternative website. BitChute, promoted as a free speech alternative to YouTube, has become a safe haven for neo-Nazis hosting racist, violent, and anti-Semitic videos that are later posted on social media. And they go into this and they talk about a group of pro-Israel lawyers and activists who are attempting to take down BitChute. We'll talk about that a bit more later. Very, very interesting. And very, very illuminating to see who is behind this latest attack on freedom of speech. But before we go into that, I want to introduce our next special guest. It is Euro, the leader of the Absolute State of Britain, the man who holds it all together. Now, I was online with him doing an election special stream between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. this morning. So this is twice in one day for me and Euro. We're capping both ends of the day, the very start of the day and the end of the day. It was a fantastic stream. And when I was streaming with Euro, who was a good friend of mine, we were quite upbeat because the news coming in was very, very positive for Donald Trump, and things took a dramatic turn for the worse at about 6:30 UK time. But Euro, how are you feeling? Have you recovered from that late night marathon stream? And tell us a little bit about Taysob, about the work you're doing and where we can find you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Mark. I'm doing just fine. Obviously, we were in a bit of a better mood back then as the stream was going on. It looked like Trump had a reasonable margin of victory over our enemies. And as much as we realize the problems with him, we still think it's probably the least worse of the alternatives there. And it's quite interesting to wake up this morning and see that it's gone completely the other way. One thing you did mention whilst we were on that stream last night was that the postal votes are always counted first. That might be the case in Britain, but it seems that they are legally allowed to count the postal votes up to 8 p.m. on the day of the election. And some judges in the judiciary in various states in America are seeking to extend that up to 3 days afterwards, which is, of course, going to have a big effect on the election with all the postal voting fraud that's going on. If you want to listen to more of me, you can, of course, find me on The Absolute State of Britain, which is at therightstuff.biz. And also you can find our feed on libsyn.com.
Well, thank you very much. Let's get into the show and let's not beat around the bush. What we're seeing here is record electoral fraud on a scale that I don't think the world's ever seen before, let alone the West. If this was happening in Zimbabwe, if this was happening in Somalia or Kenya, the Western world would be going crazy about it. They'd be sending UN advisors. There would be special task forces being convened. If anything like this was happening in Russia, there would be sanctions. There would be sanctions. I mean, what we've seen today is completely unprecedented. When I went to bed about 2 o'clock this morning, it was very, very upbeat. Everyone was quite happy. It looked pretty much like an open and shut case. Everything pointed to a Trump victory. He was ahead in all the swing states comfortably. He was obviously doing very well in traditional Republican states. And it looked like a repeat of 2016. So much so that the bookies were reversing all their odds. The bookies who had got Biden as favorite all day and Trump as an outsider were quickly reversing their odds because they were saying, there's really no chance now of Biden winning. There's every chance of Trump winning. In fact, Trump was the favorite. And when I woke up at about 6 a.m. this morning, I'd only had about 3.5 hours sleep. My eyes were rather bleary. I was feeling a bit not my best, let's put it like that, because I worked very hard yesterday. Then I was up late at night. I didn't really have much sleep at all. And Fox News were saying, that's it, Trump's done it. All of the news feeds, all of the discussions were saying Trump's done it. People were ready to pack in. Trump was about to declare. It didn't look as if anything could stop him. Then all of a sudden, Joe Biden came forth and uttered some very interesting words. He said something along the lines of, it's not over until every vote has been counted. And we're still in this, or words to that effect. I'm sure somebody could look up exactly what he said. And all of a sudden, everything started to change. We saw the mainstream media quickly say, it's not over yet. The mainstream media all stated that Donald Trump hadn't won and he was falsely declaring victory. And Twitter began to censor Donald Trump. Now, at this point, all of these swing states where Trump was hundreds and hundreds of thousands of votes ahead decided to stop counting the votes. Now, this was very odd. It was almost done and dusted. We were talking a few percent of votes away from things being declared. We were talking Trump with massive leads, which didn't look like they could be broken. At one time, he was 700,000 votes ahead in Michigan. It was done and dusted. He was more than 140,000 votes ahead in Wisconsin. It was done and dusted. And that was it. We were looking at another 4 years of Donald Trump. Then all of a sudden, all these states where Trump had basically got it in the bag suspended any more votes from being counted. And when they started counting votes again, they were finding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Biden votes. Where did these votes come from? Now, in Wisconsin, they found 140,000 extra ballot papers, and every single one of them was a Biden ballot. Now, what's the odds of that in a two-party system? What are the odds of 140,000 extra votes being found by people who have just suspended counting just before the count was concluded, and every one of those votes were for one particular candidate? That is insane. The probability of that happening is, it's probably less probable than you winning the lottery. You've got more chance of winning the lottery than you do of finding 140,000 votes that haven't been previously discovered, and they're all for one candidate. That is insane.
And when you say found, how do you just find votes? if the election is meant to be, postal voting is supposedly entirely secure, and it can't be, you know, it can't be messed around with in any way. Oh, we just found a whole bunch more votes, regardless of who they're for. How can you just find more votes? They're either there at the start or they're not.
Well, I'm going to give everyone a chance to comment on this, because this is insane. And it's not, I mean, this is just the tip of the iceberg as well. This isn't the whole story. Now, I've been talking today a little bit to Way of the World. He's a great guy, great content producer. You know, if you've not subbed his channel, he's one of the last decent YouTube channels that's still there. But he tweeted this out earlier. We need to talk about Wisconsin. This is the place where 140,000 extra votes were found. It says, how is it possible that in a state with 3.129 million registered voters, there were 3.296 million votes cast? You have more votes being cast than there are voters in the state. Now, that means the turnout is more than 100%. And in these states, they are finding boxes stuffed with not tens, not hundreds, not thousands, not tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of Biden votes. This is electoral fraud on an unprecedented scale. I've given my sort of whirlwind recollection of last night, the roller coaster that I've been on all day. And this afternoon, I got that notification on my phone, that beep, which told you the Daily Mail has just sent you a notification about an article that you might be interested in. And that article was, Biden looks like he's clinched it as swing states fall into his lap as counting continues. I mean, oh my God, this is insane. But let's go around the group. Wesley, my friend, what do you think to this madness? How closely have you been following it? Were you up last night? What do you think to this insanity?
Well, I tell you what, Mark, I'm actually not surprised at what's taken place. And do you know why? Because Steve Bannon, the man himself, about a month ago, actually made a video telling people, his followers, that he thinks the Democrats are going to do exactly what they've just done. He made a video saying that basically, I believe he was saying, I think that some of the left-wing states or Democrats in the states would basically just refuse to announce the vote, like the votes that they were getting. And that's pretty much exactly what's happened. Another bizarre thing that's happened today as well is that, I believe, let me just check, Pennsylvania, about 40,000 votes were lost from the Libertarian Party and then retransferred magically within the space of a minute to Joe Biden. So there's a lot of different ways this is being messed about with. It is shocking, but I guess I was already kind of prepared for it. And I suppose also, I've always been sort of naturally skeptical of American democracy anyway. And so it's just kind of I'm having confirmation bias right now as this is all just sort of unfolding. So it's just like, I guess I'm just not freaking out because I was never invested in the way the American system is set up in the first place. I'm not surprised that this is happening. The only thing I will say that I do find surprising, though, is I don't understand why the Democrats are doing this, because they've got mass immigration. Within a few years, decades' time, unless the Republican Party basically becomes either a left-wing party or radically panders to Hispanics, they don't need to destroy democracy to win and become a one-party state. The demographics are changing, so It just must just be some, you know, scheme by the globalists, I suppose. They just want to end the American project ASAP for whatever reason, but that's my view.
Well, I think we're going to go into why they're doing this. I believe that we're on the cusp of a gigantic gun grab. I believe they are going to make anyone that advocates for the good of people of European descent basically into a terrorist. And I believe they're going to start restricting freedom of speech. And they're doing this now as quickly as they can because Trump was a wake-up call that this can be stopped. And we'll go into this later tonight. But Euro, my friend, we were up together earlier. We're here together now. We were quite happy, you and I, earlier on. At 1 a.m, it was a happier time. How are you feeling, my friend? And what's your take on this complete shambles?
It's not really surprising. They've kind of been signaling that they're going to do this for weeks, if not months. And whenever Trump talks about the danger of elections that have been, I can't think what the phrase I'm looking for there is, that have been faked or defrauded in this way, they say, oh no, these are perfectly safe and secure. In fact, even when he tweets about it on Twitter, there's a little disclaimer underneath that says, learn how posting ballots are fair and safe, not going to be subject to fraud at all. And like, this comes up every time. And what's going to happen is he's going to go out there and say this was stolen, and they'll say, well, no, this has been determined to be fake news, so we'll hide that tweet. We're not going to let anyone see it. And anyone who does go out in the streets to protest about it is going to be attacked by Antifa, who have carte blanche to attack whoever they like, even going so far as to murder them sometimes without being punished by the FBI, who is just a anti-white organization at this point.
That is a very, very sobering take, especially on the powers being granted to these leftist mobs by the FBI, who are gearing up to essentially criminalize anybody who stands up for, I'm going to call it white well-being, because we've got Jason coming up next, and that is his phrase. So, Jason, my friend, I'm sure you've got some hot takes on this. What do you think is going on? You're the American on the panel. What's happening, my friend?
Well, quite a little bit, and that's our phrase, brother. So, but thank you. Yeah, there is. This is exactly what we anticipated, that the victory Trump would achieve would be comfortable. And if these states were not under this coup, this anti-white coup by the Democrats in the United States, there would have been a comfortable victory in the 290s plus range. But yeah, we see exactly what the anti-whites were talking about, what they've been arguing for. And they came at this at a couple different angles. First was the legal angle, to be able to count and after the fact, to be able to bring ballots in after the fact, after the election, to be able to allow people to vote by way on a massive scale, by way of mail-in voting, so that they could conceal the fraud that they were going to commit. Now, the fraud that they were going to commit needed to be as minimal as possible to win, because the bigger the crime, or the more the widespread the crime, the easier it would be to uncover. So they want to make it as small as possible, as narrow as possible. And as the night wore on, the tallies coming in, and Trump was crushing everywhere. I mean, in areas where he had won before, he was winning by five times the sum of votes. I mean, it was astonishing how many votes were coming in for Donald Trump. And it was sweeping into an easy victory for him, a comfortable victory, as we had said. The anti-white media also played a part in preparing this coup. And that was, and thank God we're on DLive on YouTube. This the video, the stream would be immediately stopped as soon as I revealed the truth of what's taking place, which is a coup in the United States. And so they played the part of predictive programming, telling people that it was going to appear like it was going to be a Republican victory, but in reality, it was going to be a Democrat victory. And so this is the psychological effect of confirming people's, we're talking about confirmation bias, confirming people's biases. They've learned ahead of time that it was going to appear to be a Republican victory, but then end up being a Democrat victory. Now, they're doing that right now as well, so don't fall for it. Right now, they're out there telling you and the entirety of the world that, the votes are in, the votes are counted. We found infinite number of more votes, and it's an easy Biden victory. They're saying this because there's still the fight for the election that is taking place. It's going to be taking place in the courts. It's going to be taking place several ways. And so long as Donald Trump decides not to submit and surrender to these people, capitulate to these anti-whites, which is not to say that he's white positive for the idiots out there. But then as the election wore on, the votes coming in last night, and the Democrats saw that they were not going to win the election, they immediately halted counting in an unprecedented way. I mean, this is hardcore mafia style, as you were saying, like third world a dictatorship with the generals decorated in so many medals, they look like they're Christmas trees. Hardcore banana republic, third world dictatorship, coup style, election fraud and stealing of an election. They just decided, well, we just won't count anymore in all of these states that are swing states, critical states, where as close as it can be. And they did that so that they could then narrow the fraud and say, well, where do we need the votes to win? Where do we need to fake the votes to win? We have all kinds of shenanigans going on. Republican observers in these polling places denied entrance, even though they had the proper credentials. There are videos of this. Sharpies given out to fill in Scantron-type voting sheets, which fail. If you fill these things out with a Sharpie, and the average person doesn't know this, if you fill them out with a Sharpie, they bleed through, and the ballot is a failure, and they chuck it. Passed out in places like Nevada, to counties that were predominantly Republican, so that those votes obviously would go south. There is a wide spectrum of the types of shenanigans that have taken place by the Democrats to steal the election. So there's a wide spectrum of types of fraud, and these sorts of things are going to be elucidated in the cases made by Trump's attorneys across the country. But what's going to happen now is that you're going to have the predictive programming that is going to continue taking place, saying that it's a done deal. There are all of these ballots that are being counted and found. And then, by the way, ballots that were questionable in some states about who they were actually for are just being given to or being rigged to be for Biden as well. So many different types of fraud are taking place right now. And what they want to do is they want to use the predictive programming of saying, well, it's a done deal. And we told you ahead of time with the predictive programming that Donald Trump wouldn't step down when he loses. And isn't that what's happening now? Again, a confirmation bias, this psychological warfare. This is the CIA and their dark arts and the FBI and their dark arts being used against the population of the United States. Billionaires and millionaires of anti-white oligarchs across the United States and maybe even around the world participating in this. And so what they're going to continue to do is to continue to tell you that it's a done deal, it's over. At the same time, they are unleashing, we're talking about carte blanche, given absolute license to Antifa, to Black Lives Matter, to all of these different anti-white groups. They're in the streets. And they are setting fire. They are attacking Western civilization. They are, over the course of the night, elected American officials at the federal level who are Republicans having their staffs all across the United States, not in the news, their homes being attacked, their homes being broken into. And I'll share what happened here last night. I don't know if it's connected, but it sure is curious. An object outside that, if climbed, would enable you to a human being to get onto the roof of my home, fell a heavy object. So no sort of squirrel could have gotten onto this. Fell and exploded into many pieces last night. Now I don't know what kind of animal might have been trying to climb onto the roof of my house, whether it was a featherless biped or whether it was a normal animal from the woods. I can't imagine. There are no bears here. I don't imagine what could weigh that much. But I had to sweep outside with the tools I use. But I had to sweep outside for what was taking place. People getting arrested inside the homes of Republican staffers, official Republican staffers. None of this is in the news. People getting arrested after the fact, after leaving the place. People getting arrested up on the property of these staffers' homes. So they are setting fire to the city. There's cities, Washington, D.C., right outside where I live right now. And they want to keep this. In fact, they've declared themselves a state of ungovernable. So they want to take it up to the next level. And they intend, of course, as you all may have heard, that I think it is on the 6th to shut down the White House. And then on the 7th to shut down Washington, D.C. So what's going to have to happen? Well, these states that are now where the fraud is taking place, where the coup is taking place, the Republican Party is going to be challenging the results in those states. And ultimately, this is going to go through the state courts, and then it'll be passed on to the Supreme Court of the United States, where there is best case scenario, a 5-4 in favor of law and order at the Supreme Court of the United States. Could go all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, but ultimately they might have to demand, and who knows how this will be carried out. I don't know that it's ever had to be carried out before, but I'm having people with more education in the subject about it than I have get to me. They might have to require, they might call for a new election in these states, because the Republicans are literally going to have to go through and disqualify every single ballot that the Democrats continue to find all day long. They're finding more and more ballots. And as you were pointing out, more ballots than people require so that they have the number to defeat the Republican candidate. So it's exactly as we said, there was a comfortable margin of victory. They stopped counting when they saw that it was going to be a defeat for them, and they started producing bogus ballots. Now they want to go to the court, and Trump has his lawyers ready to go to the court. This is going to be an uphill battle. And what we need to do, if I don't know if you're a Christian, I don't know, whoever you pray to, you need to pray for and whatever, if you have power and wherever you can influence that power, use that power. We need Donald Trump to continue to force this issue up to the very bitter end, because, and I suspect he will, I hope he will, because surrendering now to this coup, I think it was maybe Renew Britannia, I don't know which one of you were saying that, why push it now? It's because this is not this is human dynamism. There are individuals who are anti-white who want it now, and other individuals who are anti-white who would have it later, but this is, you know, human dynamism. They're pushing for it now, and they are bloodthirsty. And we've read all of those different bills and acts and treaties they want to sign, etc. Last week, after the show we did, Mark, a brilliant show that we did, and folks should watch that show, because everything we were saying is happening now. They intend to push all of that forward. Now, the one ray of hope there, it's still, though, potentially in question, because they could be doing, and I'll pass it back, they could be doing to the House members and Senate members what they're doing to Donald Trump. And that is that the Republicans have retained, as of right now, if things continue without more fraud, Republicans retain their edge in the Senate of the United States. And they may have increased, but, you know, not equaled, their share in to the Democrats, equal to the Democrats, their share of the House. So it may give us, even if Trump were to somehow lose this fight, at least 2 more years to do what we do, to reach as many people as we want or as we can reach over that time. But this is the bloodlust of anti-white demons who are willing to do whatever, wherever, whenever, to victimize Western kind and Western civilization. We need to recognize it for what it is, and we need to begin playing by the exact same goddamn rules that these anti-whites are willing to play to win this game, because this is our lives. These are our nations. Western civilization is what we create, God damn it. We cannot allow them to submerge the United States right now, where it is right now, because that will create a context that is going to be very, very difficult to come back from. But I pass it back. We're going to have a great show here today, folks, so make sure you don't miss a minute of it.
Well, the next thing I want to discuss is the way this has been dealt with on social media. Now, earlier on, I talked about Biden saying it's not over until every last vote has been counted. And when he said that, it was almost like that was the trigger phrase. That was the phrase that all of these people in social media, all of these people in the mainstream media, all of these left-wing, liberal, progressive influencers were waiting for. And instantly, everything changed. Now, I'm not going to start having a go at Donald Trump today, because I think Donald Trump's statement on this fraud and Mike Pence's statement on this fraud were both very, very powerfully delivered. They were short, they were sharp, they were to the point, they were very, very statesmanlike. And Trump's statement was very, very strong. It was very presidential. It was the statement of a man that you could get behind. So I'm not going to start tearing into him. But when I go down his Twitter feed, it is all tweets that are hidden. So I'm going to go on Donald Trump's Twitter now. I obviously follow him. Several tweets in the last hour. And of his last few tweets, over the last, let's say, 24 hours, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4 of those tweets have all got this little message. Some or all of the content shared in this tweet is disputed and might be misleading about an election or other civic protest. And that is, they are working hard to make up the 500,000 vote advantage in Pennsylvania disappear ASAP, likewise Michigan and others. That's a totally true statement. He says, what is all this about? And he says, he retweets somebody who is showing this massive jump in votes. He tweets this: last night I was leading, often solidly, in many key states. In almost all instances, Democrat run and controlled. Then one by one, they started to magically disappear as surprise ballot dumps were counted. Very strange, and the pollsters got it completely and historically wrong. Now, there's others. I'm not going to go through them all, but these are all being hidden by Twitter. Twitter is in on this. The social networks are in on these. These giant social media corporations are all in on this coup. And I've got to throw this out to the group. Donald Trump's to blame for this. Donald Trump had 4 years to get to grips with these companies, to regulate these companies, to pass legislation, to pass an executive order. He did nothing. And over those 4 years, since 2016, and this is especially important tonight because young Wesley here has lost his channel, we have seen YouTube channels disappear. We have seen websites being seized. We have seen search engines refuse to put forward the actual search results to people looking for those search results. You Google Dr. David Duke, you don't get his website. His website doesn't appear anymore on Google. It does on DuckDuckGo and other search engines. But this is a massive, massive company that deals with the vast majority of searches the world over, and they're not giving the correct search results. And Donald Trump could have dealt with this. And instead, we are now on the day after the biggest election in American history, one of the most pivotal elections in American history. And one of the two candidates, the current sitting president, cannot tweet out to his audience, to his supporters, his thoughts on what is going on. This is absolutely scandalous. And this election has been hampered by this kind of tampering and interference. I'd like everyone's take on this. We'll start with you, Wesley, since you are the victim of social media censorship today. What do you think about this? Should Trump have got a grip of this? Are you disappointed in Trump for not getting a grip of this? And do you think the message of this mass fraud is getting out to the people despite this huge censorship?
it was one thing 4 years ago, when obviously people started to take note of online censorship, to, you know, give the old classic liberal argument, well, you shouldn't really interfere with the social media companies via legislation because that there's potential danger there, right? Those were the old arguments we used to get. But we're 4 years in now, and we can see things are completely different. Once upon a time, you know, in the Western world, private companies didn't care about politics. They just didn't. Now, all of them are politicized. You can't go to work without having a BLM wallpaper on your computer, as one person told me, which is pretty crazy. Imagine having to put up with that. But anyway, the point is, we can empirically observe now that that it's not just the state that's political, it's private companies too. And therefore, that means we do have to upgrade our politics and our approach. Things are deteriorating in the West. We know it, we can see it, we can feel it. And so that's why it is disappointing that after 4 years, Trump hasn't got a grip of it. You know, if he didn't do it in 17, 18, 19, okay. But it's been 4 years now, things have been disintegrating. He should have got something at least done this year before the election, especially because private companies, guess what, have huge influence on how people are going to vote. Okay, there have been, I think, congressional hearings about how much social media companies can sway the election results, and that's just the way it is. And so it's utterly disappointing that he didn't get anything done this year in terms of tech censorship.
Well, I'd say it's more than disappointing that he hasn't got anything done. He has had ages to deal with this, and he just hasn't wanted to. Even from a purely selfish point of view, if he doesn't care about his followers and supporters, surely he would want to be re-elected. And he's known that this is a problem from the start. He's done nothing about it. So it's not surprising at all. But, you know, like with this election, the media and social media too have the ability to just provide people a false reality where, you know, what we say or what Trump says is hidden from them. They just get the approved narrative. They won't even know that these discrepancies exist, because who's going to tell them? Anyone who does try to tell them is going to be banned immediately.
I agree with that. I've just had word from Horace. He's joining us in 5 minutes. But Jason, here's a crucial question for you, my friend. You've been victim of social media censorship, as have we all. We've all had at least videos removed. We've had multiple tweets censored, and we have to tread on eggshells. But you've had channels deleted in their entirety. What do you think about this? Do you think Trump has shot himself in the foot by not dealing with these social media giants who are now effectively the public square?
Well, yeah, and we talked about that here, and I hope that people remember the sort of conversations we have here so that they know where to return when they want to be able to see the future, understand the present and the past. And the reality is that we've gotten pretty darn mad on this show, pretty angry on this show about Trump not taking steps against these tech titans to put them in their place, control them. There are a lot of things that can be done. I understand that there is a swamp that he's dealing with. But we also said from the very beginning, with Patrick with us in the very beginning, when Trump got into office, that if he were really going to turn things around, he was going to have to hold military tribunals. Judges, little petty judges here and there would be able to get in his way and shut things down. And that's what's happened. And we said, as a consequence, I'm pretty impassioned. And we talked about HB earlier in the show. HB took clips out of me giving oration very angrily on this very show about how Trump won't have the social media support in the next election that he had in the first election, which played such a crucial role in getting him elected, because he's not doing anything to protect us from these tech titans. In fact, if you all remember, he even held this little ceremony, this ridiculous ceremony, where he was sort of tapping the shoulders with the sword, anointing the resistance, the social media resistance to the big tech, to the mainstream media, and it definitely didn't include any of us. It was a bunch of anti-whites. We like to call themselves Republicans or various stripes and different ideas. So absolutely, without question, Mark, we have a scenario where it's because he did not do enough over the past 4 years to shut down the censorship of all of those who are able to support him and communicate in the background, peer-to-peer, which is the most powerful form of communication when the anti-whites are controlling the narrative, the anti-white narrative, we call it. Because you don't know anything beyond your life beside what they tell you until we had this peer-to-peer communication. Now, I've got to say this. If Donald Trump is listening, and I know that we have people with power that listen to some of the shows that we make occasionally, if they're listening, now is the time to do what he could have done, what he should have done in the very beginning of that presidency over the course of those 4 years. And that is take executive level state of war, state of emergency action against those who are committing a coup, who committed a slow motion coup over the past 4 years to prevent much of his policies and programs moving forward, with all of this endless claims about Russia. And I don't know if you all know, and you probably do know in the UK, those who are watching and elsewhere around the world, because you all have your finger on the pulse, your au courant for what is going on in the United States. But most probably don't know that all of the evidence has come out that it was 100% lies about Russia. It was all fabrication. Schiff and all of these pieces of shit that came forward in front of the American people in these halls of power, these hallowed halls, and said in front of these news cameras, CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, the entire lot of them said, I have seen the evidence and it proves that Donald Trump was in collusion with the Russians. And they were lying about it 100%. This is the kind of stuff that you say it is a state of emergency and you arrest that SOB for. Because he's clearly misleading the American public and the rest of them, Pelosi and the rest, intentionally. They know the documents that they're looking at. The documents have now been all revealed. And hopefully that the intent of that was to get to the judges and the generals and the admirals in the military and say, look, the evidence is out. These people were lying all along when they were coming out from their secret committees saying they had all of the evidence that confirmed without a doubt that there was some sort of collusion and that the Trump had stolen the election from Hillary and the like. These are the same people behind this fast-moving coup, more understandable or more, I guess believable. You don't need to have the intelligence here. You just have to be able to open your eyes and see that this is a hot coup in action in the United States. If we are going to keep a country, and by the way, if you all are, you think you might be able to walk away from this around the world, the Democrats in the United States are going to turn the CIA on you around the world. We read the documents. I can pull the damn thing out right now, and we can get back to it later in the show. They are going to sic the CIA on everybody who cares about white well-being, wherever your ass is, no matter how small your little town is around planet Earth, they're going to liken you to Al-Qaeda, to ISIS. So this is not something that you're going to be able to shrug your shoulders and say, well, I guess that's happening in America. That's too bad for now. I'm afraid not, my friends. And then everybody who talks to you in the United States, we're going to be treated as in league with international terrorism. So this is very serious. We need him to absolutely do what he did not do. And the point that Mark started at, which Mark is, as usual, 100% correct about this, that we wouldn't be in this state right now if Trump had done what he needed to do over the past 4 years. But that's the past. We need him to do what he needs to do right now, or we're going to lose the United States and we're going to lose all of our freedoms. And many of you internationally are going to find your lives under attack by the dark arts of the CIA of the United States of America.
Well, thank you. We've got a very sleepy Horace with us here. He'd been up all night watching the election, and he is finally joining us. What do you think to this, my friend? We had a bit of an election prediction show, myself, you, Jason, Dr. Patrick Slattery, and the indomitable Dr. David Duke last Sunday, and we made our predictions, and here we are. I think we all said we thought Trump was going to win, but there were concerns from people that the election would be stolen, and here we are the day after the election, and indeed it has been stolen. How much of this have you seen, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I was keeping up with everything pretty well until a couple of hours ago when I foolishly somehow let myself fall asleep. I do apologize. But yeah, as I understand, it's not been called fully for either side yet, right? But I mean, it really looks like they are just blatantly stealing it, and it's disgusting to watch. I mean, yeah, as you guys have just been talking about, the role that the social media plays, it's revolting to see what they do. This it sort of reminds me of the phrase culture of critique from Kevin McDonald, right? Just this constant casting of doubt upon anything that Trump says. They so obviously planned ahead for this as well, right? This narrative was laid over the last few weeks, and was obviously that was planned for over the previous couple of months. They told us what they were going to do. Bernie Sanders just last night, just before the polls closed, tweeted out saying basically what the plan was. Like, we just say that, you know, whenever Trump says I've won, he hasn't won. And we just keep it in doubt in time for us to produce enough more Democrat ballots wherever they're needed to edge us over the line. It's a terrible plan, though, right? I mean, it means they're going to steal it by a narrow margin at best. And that all that will do is just enrage another few million Americans who really wanted to believe in democracy and really wanted to believe that democracy was all that matters, you know. And a few more million of them are going to start noticing things like demographics and, you know, foreign tribal interference and so on. So my prediction now, if it matters, is that they are going to steal it. Is they're going to avoid it going to the Supreme Court or something, because obviously he's got enough people in the Supreme Court. But are they going to avoid it going to that, I think, somehow?
I don't think the Supreme Court are necessarily going to back him, if he did elect them. No. They've been useless in the past, and they will continue to be so.
Yeah, they're non-entities when it comes to, doing anything for his side. So I think they are stealing it now, but I think it's a really, really cack-handed... it's as though it's designed to cause chaos, for the reason I just said, like, the Republican voters. I mean, the Republican Party, I'm sure, will just roll over, because that's what they do. It's the same as the Tories here, but Republican voters are going to be infuriated because they really do, you know, by and large, believe in democracy and believe in the rule of law. So I don't know. We're watching something really quite chaotic and mad. It's like, I mean, this is the way I was listening to Keith Woods' stream before for a little while, and they were saying that, they pointed out that the voters are not going to accept it. So what I think we're watching is two or even more factions in the ruling class wrestling with each other over the sort of with the people underneath just getting rolled all over. That's what I think is going on. Is, you know, it's not a unified globalist class. It's several factions of globalists struggling against each other, but also against the rest of us. So it's madness.
Noah Gilt mentioned that the Russiagate was all a hoax. You know, Trump wasn't owned by Russia. You've got the Democrat candidate Biden is controlled by Chinese bureaucrats, and Donald Trump himself is controlled by the other ones, who we won't mention.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've just got to bring this up, the mainstream media ran with the most salacious anti-Trump headline imaginable. One man made up a story about Donald Trump urinating on a hooker in a bed in Russia because that bed had been used by Barack Obama. Now, that one salacious story based on one man's imagination, because none of it was true, was run by every major media outlet the world over as if it was gospel, as if it was undeniable truth. And it was spread all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over YouTube, all over every social network by people who are anti-Trump, people who are anti-white, people who were pushing for this revolution in America. Now, despite that being based on no truth whatsoever, everyone was happy to run with it. You now have a presidential candidate who is likely himself to be a pedophile. His son has been engaged in a pedophilic relationship with his own niece, an incestuous pedophilic relationship. And these people, despite the evidence, despite the emails, despite the films, the footage, which is available on the internet, the mainstream media won't talk about it. And anyone who posts links or clips of these films, of this evidence to social media, is being completely and utterly censored and is going down the memory hole. So you have a salacious story based on no evidence whatsoever. None. And it is run by everyone, and there is no censorship on social media of that story. Then you have a true story about a presidential candidate who has done the most creepy, child molesty stuff in front of cameras, told stories about children playing with his leg hair in swimming pools, and his son has taken bungs on his behalf from Russia and has been involved in an incestuous relationship with his underage niece. And Biden, Joe Biden, knew about this, yet the media and the social networks are covering up. This is the biggest sham in history, in the history of elections. And as I said, this would make Robert Mugabe and the Zimbabwean regime that he ran, they'd all be blushing. Even they wouldn't be as bold to do this. What are your thoughts on this complete scandal? Because we are on the brink of this maniacal, demented, corrupt child molester being in charge of the most powerful country in the world. Please, somebody give me some perspective on this. Let's go around the group.
It's probably not the first time that a child molester will be in charge of the USA. We just haven't had proof in previous encounters of that. There's also not to be forgotten the huge financial corruption involving Hunter Biden in Ukraine, which was also covered up by the media to a great extent.
The child abuse stuff that the Bidens are accused of, and I think like the Clintons perhaps more, I don't know, more tenuously, but were accused of a lot as well, and still are. And obviously everyone who's connected to
Epstein. Pizzagate is real.
Well, yeah, I mean, God knows, yeah. And all these people's connections to Epstein, who's also connected to Trump in some ways. Like all that, I mean, that kind of speaks for itself. It's just like, I mean, the very fact that any part of the media would not want to open up that story, that tells you dark things about the ruling class in general, right? And I would say the same about, I mean, over the sort of last 4 or 5 years, we've heard so many accusations about Hollywood as well, like directors like Bryan Singer, who's never been arrested, but there's so many strong accusations against as well. So, I mean, like that is one whole thing. And then the way that the media works with all this, like, the, you know, that, the fact that Russiagate was like, what do you call it? Like a just something.
A homosexual operation.
yeah. Or like, I think of it like candy floss. Like it's just a tiny bit of sugar whipped into some big puffy thing, right? There's hardly anything or literally nothing there. The fact that they're going to these lengths of lies, it makes it seem like the globalist sort of, I don't know, juggernaut is actually not, is really quite sort of chaotic, and it's really like not well managed, it's not well coordinated. There's loads and loads of signs that they throw off of what they're doing, and it's poorly put together. So that, I mean, in a way gives you hope, but at the same time you see how many people there are out there, and I'm not just talking about dim leftists, I'm talking about centrist people and plenty on the right as well, who simply don't want to believe or cannot fathom how dishonest these people are. They can't accommodate that. So they and also the sort of people who just want to believe in it, they want to themselves, they want to pride themselves on having a balanced view. So that just favors whoever's more prepared to lie. And this is why the social media will go to these lengths, because it does work. It does work. And all this casting of doubt that they do upon Trump, like just by putting those warnings on his tweets and stuff, it does have some effect. It enrages people, but those people are already probably Republican voters. But it does have some effect on the middling, sort of soft-minded middle people. So
I think a lot of people, especially older people, just don't want to believe it. Because like they see, if you have, for example, someone in this country who is like a boomer age person, and they watch TV, and they've they might be a Brexit voter, and they see the BBC's been lying about Brexit for years, I know they're full of crap, and then something else comes along, different story on the same news organization, and they believe it 100%. You know, right. Even though that's they right. know that the organization itself is corrupt and lies, they don't want to believe that the system is that corrupt, that the system is that against them. They all just lie to them blatantly. It's a big lie.
You see this with millions of people, I think, because I really try and get under their skin with this and try and convince them, no, you are up against something evil. It's not just things going wrong. It's not incompetence. You're up against something evil. But if people face up to that, they know that leads to them having to become a radical against the system, a real renegade. And for most people, that's not an exciting prospect. That endangers their home, their family and stuff. So, you know, people really do choose to believe the softer version of the truth, or just a very narrow version of the truth at best. And it's really hard for us to sort of get between them and the media, you know.
I don't wish to black pill, but I'm pretty black pilled when it comes to the allegations of paedophilia of a significant proportion of the ruling class. The rule of law doesn't really apply. We get things like, you know, Harvey Weinstein, for example, but are these not just show trials? I mean, I'm completely black pilled on this aspect of stopping what these corrupt elites get up to, right?
I think it relates to the massive rape gang scandal in Britain as well. I mean, that I think there's good reason to estimate that something like 500,000, maybe 1 million girls have been victimized by this, and probably similar numbers of perpetrators. Because they managed to get through a lot of victims, but I think, you know, many, many of the Muslim men in Britain are involved. And how many have gone down? I think there's been a few hundred convictions in total, and like the rest are just laughing, you know. I think
as with the terrorism, there may be a small number, you know, as a percentage who would be directly involved, but there's a much larger amount of the whole population of them who will just turn a blind eye or who cheer them on. It's like, oh, well, I wouldn't do that myself, but you know, good luck to them.
Mm. And yeah, and then the media really minimizes the reporting. They can't completely ignore it. But the establishment has basically closed ranks against the people. And similar is happening in America. I think there's probably children being trafficked into like Hollywood and all sorts in big numbers. You know, like Jeffrey Epstein would have been one of many, I think. And it's just really sick to imagine. I mean, God knows the kind of suffering they're going through.
I think Epstein was very much the tip of the iceberg, yeah. though.
I mean, it was the tip of some sort of berg.
Because although he was very much the mastermind behind it all, he, by dying, or being murdered more accurately, he covered up all of those people he was supplying the girls to. And I think much of the story about Epstein has actually focused on him abusing girls, things he did, and also Prince Andrew. But whilst the focus has been on him, his very, very suspicious death, which there's obviously more to meets the eye than that, it hasn't really gone into his huge list of clients or the massive amount of data, information that is held on him by law enforcement, which I'm sure if you got hold of all of those documents and you followed them all through and you followed them all up, there would be a treasure trove of information which would lead to celebrities, world leaders, influential figures, and you could probably piece together some kind of bizarre paedophile ring which was active all over the world and involved different world leaders from potentially every Western nation and certainly former US presidents. So as I said, Epstein himself is the tip of the iceberg. There are so many people involved in this, and I am sure, or I would bet a sizable amount of money on the fact that Epstein isn't the or wasn't the only person supplying these underage girls. He won't be the only person who was pimping girls to politicians, basically as an Israeli honey trap. And that's the other thing, isn't it? You know, we talk about Russian interference. Well, we don't. We respond to talk about Russian interference in American politics, British politics, and all we hear is Russia is interfering, Russia is interfering. Well, here you have Jeffrey Epstein working on behalf of the Israeli government, pimping out underage white girls to sitting politicians, influential figures and celebrities, so people can be blackmailed into doing things for Israel, doing favors for Israel, bankrolling Israel, and turning a blind eye to Israel's war crimes. This is the insane world we live in. Yet, when we talk about Russia, people lose their mind, but the people losing their mind are those sat at APAC conferences serving a foreign entity. Let's have our final thoughts on this before we go to the super chats, guys.
I would just say with the Jeffrey Epstein thing, it's good to listen to, well, in my opinion, to listen to people like Ryan Dawson or Sean Atwood, who've covered it in quite a lot of detail. Ryan Dawson's been doing it for years and years, really, really knowledgeable. And he would say, like, all the focus, Epstein having died or been murdered, all the focus should then go on, apart from Ghislaine Maxwell, who obviously we're looking forward to seeing her tried, Leslie Wexner. He appears to have been the man who made Epstein rich. Epstein was not rich until he got involved with this guy. Or if he was, it was through some other kind of fraud. But Leslie Wexner appears to have given him a home, a massively expensive home, millions and millions in New York, for no apparent reason, things like this. And through Leslie Wexner, he's connected to this mega group, which is a group of like Jewish philanthropists, like billionaires, all supporters of Israel, I think. Steven Spielberg's one. There's a long list of them. Ryan Dawson does really good stuff on this. And I just think it broadens out from Epstein through loads of different fabulously wealthy, powerful connections. It connects to September 11th and all sorts of things. It's a real, it's the start of a rabbit hole. And it's, I recommend everyone look into it more.
Right, let's do some super chats then, guys. Okay, we have Stanley Sloggett, who gave £20. Thank you very much, my friend. Generous super chat there. And he said, freedom of speech under attack, democracy under attack. What next? Well, what next indeed? I'm actually doing a video on this. I believe the next stage of all of this will be to essentially reduce people's ability to work in the West, to turn Western economies into import-only economies served by China, and to move huge numbers of people onto some form of universal credit system so they are at the behest of the government. I'm currently putting a video together on this. I think once that takes place and everyone is being paid by the government and essentially relies on the government for a monthly income to pay their mortgage, to put food on the table. This is about increasing control. And ultimately, they will seek to control every part of our lives so we are no longer free in any sense. What do you guys think? What is the next stage in their master plan?
Well, that reality you've just outlined sounds absolutely ghastly, and I really hope you're wrong, Mark. But it's funny, isn't it, how for all of Trump's tenure, we've had the left and the mainstream media saying, he's a fascist, he's a fascist. And it's the left and the mainstream media who have been doing everything to subvert and destroy the democratic process. And what we might see is, well, I mean, if either side doesn't believe in the outcomes of elections, then how do you have a democratic way of legitimizing the transition of power? So really, all sorts of things could happen. Perhaps one reality is Trump just remains the president, an unlikely one, but it's a, you know, potential reality nonetheless. But it's just amazing because it's not a situation that he orchestrated or he engineered. It was his opponents, yet just the sheer irony that they would call him the fascist. It's absolutely incredible. But hey,
Democrats are the real fascists.
Yeah, basically. But they lost. They lost their coup. Well, we hope they do anyway. Really hope that's the case.
I mean, when you say that the only thing could happen is Trump would stay in power, to be able to do something like that, he'd have to be able to rely on the people on his side. And he really has nobody around him to support him. That's been his problem from day one, is he came in as the outsider. But then as soon as he got into power, he was surrounded by the establishment. And the only people he had, you know, from his sort of personal life who he'd brought along was Kushner, which hasn't really helped him out. In fact, you know, what has he achieved with Kushner's help? Well, he's got lots of black criminals out of jail in America and allowed them to vote.
I'm going to jump in really quick, just to your comment there, Euro. And what's really important is that there are a lot of people who have sided with Donald Trump and who have regular Americans. And this holds true also for people abroad because of Resolution 884 that the Democrats are bringing forward and want to make law, which would sick the CIA on everyone who's white positive abroad. These people are on the chopping block, and maybe literally because of the S693 Thrive, I think is that the one? No, it's HR 992, declaring unconditional war on racism and invidious discrimination and establishing a cabinet level department of reconciliation. This is going to hunt down everyone. This is a Democrat bill being brought forward. They want to make it into law. This will hunt everyone down who is a Trump supporter, is certainly all of the big ones. Anybody who was an ardent voice and gained momentum or support for Donald Trump for punishment. But of course, the white race in toto, because it establishes a quote, Secretary of Reconciliation, and charges that secretary, this is a whole new cabinet level, with developing a comprehensive strategy to eliminate, quote, you know, racism. Nationally, that's any thought that deviates from anti-whiteism. And they are demanding 10% of the budget that is given to the Department of Defense. So there are a lot of people whose heads are ready to roll if Donald Trump loses. And they need to recognize that their heads will roll if he loses. And potentially we have 2 years with the Senate and House in its current iteration, if they don't steal this. But after that, things like HR 992 under different names and numbers will be moved forward. And the anti-whites are not going to be handing out passes to those who stood in their way during the time of Donald Trump. So there are a lot of people who I think are going to be coming to his aid. And there are a lot who should come to his aid, because you're not going to be able to just close the door and say, well, you know, done with that. I guess he lost. I guess it's over. No, if you spoke out, if you have said anything white positive, if you have been heretical in any way, shape or form to anti-whiteism, we can look at history, how they have behaved. They're not going to just say, well, we'll let bygones be bygones. You'll be able to have your thoughts in your backyard. We'll be able to have ours in our backyard. No, they march people off by the millions and murder them. That is what's normal for the anti-whites. And we need to fight as though that we are adults and cognizant that is the destiny they want for us, because it damn well is.
So they're taking this money or planning to take this money out of the Department of Defense budget. It's going to be a war on racism in much the same way we've seen the war on drugs and war on terrorism. I mean, considering how well those have worked out, this might be the best thing that's ever happened to us. That is obviously a joke, but yes, it's very scary. It reminds me actually of a book called The Turner Diaries. You have a similar scenario in there, in which the government is tasked with eliminating all racists by force, and the resistance to that.
Well, thank you for your takes there, guys. Let's move on to the next super chat. Blunderbuss gave $25. Thank you for the generous super chat, my friend. He said, this will probably be for the best. The normies will have to wake up with the ballot paper printer going brrrr. Well, I have had that take from some people. Some people are saying, could this blatant attempt at electoral fraud wake people up? And I like to see positives in things. I can't see many positives to this, but I did tweet this earlier. I said, to expect people to believe that 140,000 extra ballots were found after officials stopped counting, and all of those ballots happened to be for the same candidate, shows just how much contempt those pulling the strings behind the scenes have for normal people. Now, that was a heavily retweeted tweet that I made earlier. And I do think there is a point there. I mean, this isn't what we wanted. We wanted a fair election. But will this have the effect of polarizing people further? Because I'm sure there are a lot of angry people out there now, and there are a lot of people who are appalled. Is there a positive to this? Let's go around the group. Renew Britannia, what do you think, Wes? Is there any positives to this? And then we'll go around to everyone else.
There's a positive in that if Trump did actually win, he did actually get the most votes or win the most seats. And obviously it's sorted out, then obviously it reflects terribly on the left. And that's ultimately a good thing. It wakes a few more people up, at least. So I see the positive in that. Other than that, is it really a good thing that this is happening? Not really, but it's what to be expected, isn't it? Just the managed decline, or in this case, chaos. But yeah, it's apart from, yeah, obviously, if it comes out that Trump was supposed to win and does stay on, it reflects badly on the left, but apart from that, it's not really a great situation to be in, is it?
I don't think this is at all good for us or our people, but, you know, we'll have to see. Inevitably, some people will wake up to the reality of what's going on, because the rigging has been so blatant this time around. But those sorts of people are the type who would be receptive to that in the first place, who are already not trusting what the mainstream media is telling them, who are already looking for alternative information. And so, you know, the effect that has is going to be limited. And I don't foresee a case in which, you know, people are going to rise up in the streets and fight in a civil war type scenario. I think, you know, either Trump's going to be able to keep this by fighting in the courts, which is unlikely, or he's going to be forced to step down, because even if he wanted to stay in power, the people around him are not going to go along with it. The people who are meant to be on his side will not go along and help him.
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, pretty much every any permutation of events, like, it's some good can come from it. Yeah, for the reasons that both the previous guys said and what you said before, Mike. Mark, yeah, like, as in, some people will not be able to ignore that, you know, democracy has just been blatantly flouted. I mean, this is what it appears. I don't have any proof for that, but that's how it very much appears to me. That, yeah, that it would be like someone's just come up and spat directly in their face and sort of defied them to ignore it, you know. I mean, people do show terrific powers of wanting to ignore the you know, how bad things are. But, yeah, it can't fail to wake up some more people. How they're going to react, though, I mean, you know, a lot of people will get angry, but then still 4 years down the line, you know, it's still just, well, I'm not going to vote Republican, am I? So I'm just going to, I'm not going to vote Democrat, am I? So I'm still going to vote Republican. So this is what the sort of the phony right, the traitors to the right really rely upon. And I do expect that, you know, if say tomorrow we have, I don't know exactly how it's going to work, but if Nevada says, yeah, after our unexplained day-long pause where we're giving it to the Democrats and all this stuff. I can imagine Trump challenging them alone, pretty much, the Republican Party doing almost nothing to help him. Again, that will separate some of Trump's voters from them, but with nowhere else to go, they're still trapped. So it's bleak, but yeah, it's going to raise sort of racial consciousness a little bit.
Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to move on to the next super chat. We've got one here from Robin Ulanov. He gave $5. Thank you very much, my friend. And he made this point. He said Trump lost because he betrayed his voter base and didn't give white people anything. He didn't lose because of voter fraud or mail-in ballots. We should be saying good riddance to Trump instead of defending him. Well, I have seen people saying that online. I disagree with that. I think the prospect of Biden-Harris is the prospect of a gun grab. It's the prospect of speech being criminalized. It's the prospect of dissident right-wing groups being criminalized and categorized as terrorists. I think there's far too much on the line for us just to say, well, Trump didn't do everything we wanted. But do any of you guys think this guy's got a point? Do any of you guys think Trump is being punished by the voters for failing to deliver?
Well, from our nationalist perspective, I mean, has this guy even ever talked about white people as a people in the United States? You know, in the United States, it's always like, oh, well, you have the black population or the Hispanic population, and you always get the politicians from either side always pandering. But has Trump really acknowledged the plight of white people? And I mean explicitly white Americans? Not really a whole lot, if at all. So I can understand that super chat and what the message behind it saying, yeah.
Well, ultimately, you know, if we think people are trying to punish Trump for not doing what he said he'd do, the only one who's going to get punished is us.
My all through the last 4 years, I was just thinking, you know, as soon as things started to go wrong, which was really in the first year, I was just thinking, why would anybody vote for him again now? And then obviously the demographics every day are piling up against him. I just thought, why would anyone vote for him? But the way that the left behaved this year, obviously, I think drove a lot of people back to voting for Trump. So rather undeservedly, I think he, you know, didn't suffer that penalty for basically having betrayed his base on, I say betrayed, I don't really know what's going on in the background, but having let everyone down. I think that actually didn't punish him that much. But, you know, you'd have to ask every person individually to know.
We need to stay constructive because the fight isn't over. And every time, and Mark knows this very well in politicking, every time somebody loses and we've tied our destiny or identity to that individual, unwisely so, every time that happens, you inevitably see this neotenous behavior, this childish, puerile behavior in adults, where they just want to throw a tantrum and they want to blame the politician for the totality of the loss. The politician was all bad, and it just becomes this infantile thing. Clearly, Donald Trump didn't do things he could or should have done. And we said that from the very, we said it all along, that he should be doing X, Y, and Z. It's going to make it harder, et cetera. And clearly he also did things that were right. This isn't about him just simply failing the white America or simply failing to take some sort of a minor step and then your life would have been infinitely better. We need to be adults. Whatever he is or does or could be is whatever that's going to be. We only have control over our individual lives, and we need to use that control over our individual lives to endeavor to achieve an outcome that will benefit Western kind and Western civilization and give us a little bit more breathing room to continue to do things like spread going free, the lexicon and dialectics, whereby we change the fluid in which the national conversation takes place, rather than always accepting the anti-white narrative as the place where the conversation takes place. We need to do that now. We need to be adult now. The adults in the room have to be the ones who are talking and the ones who are followed. I pass it back.
Yeah, I think that we're at a crucial point in history, and Trump has done some good things. He's definitely the lesser of two evils. he pushed back against critical race theory. He got people talking about race, demographics, and immigration. He undermined faith in the mainstream media like no one has done before. Well, no one has done so much damage to the mainstream media post-Second World War as Donald Trump. We have to thank him for these things. And I think that when you weigh President Trump for 4 more years against Biden and Harris for 4 years, you would be insane to pick Biden and Harris. But that's just my take. But thank you for the super chat. Very thought-provoking question. The Inextinguishable gave £50. Thank you very much, my friend. Very generous super chat. And simply said, 14. Thank you. JP gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, voting fraud is a common occurrence in the third world. The blatant voting fraud taking place for our eyes is a very telling of the current state of the USA and where we are headed. But this will make the people of the beautiful race only stronger. Love the show. Keep doing God's work. Well, thank you, JP. And hopefully it will. Blunderbuss gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, Trump could have easily been giving white people stimulus money, but he'd rather give the shekels to Wall Street Americans. Well, I do believe that Trump has got some things wrong, and we've spoken about this. He's pandering to the black voters, his constant talk of his love for Israel. All of these things were bad things. I think Trump did make mistakes, but I will say this, and please feel free, anyone here on the panel, if they want to counter signal me. But I did think at the time that many of the things Trump wanted to do were frustrated by both the judiciary and the Democrats in the House and the Senate. Now, and sometimes by Republicans in the House and the Senate. Now, this is very, very interesting because it takes me on to another positive of the Trump regime that, feel free to comment on this, you guys, but when I was in the BNP trying to explain to the public that firstly, the mainstream media were evil, lying, anti-white monsters, and also explaining that there was this huge conspiracy of people within the establishment who were trying to destroy Britain, destroy a Western first world nation, and there was this communist conspiracy taking place was almost impossible. And another thing we've got to thank Trump for is he has exposed the fact there is a deep state. The deep state was something that was seen as a conspiracy theory that was laughed at by many until Trump got elected. We have to thank Donald Trump for opening people's eyes, not just to the media's lies, but to the fact there are these powerful agents working behind the scenes who are pulling the strings of all, or not all, but the majority of powerful politicians in the West. What do you guys think to this?
I think you're right there. Yeah, I'm really glad he came along. And I mean, it's so much better than just having someone like Ted Cruz, or even worse, or Jeb Bush for the last 4 years. I mean, Donald Trump has made things happen. He's moved things along. He's, you know, caused acceleration. And yeah, the debate has been changed for the better. So I agree with you there.
I think when it comes, it should be absolutely hammered home about how he's sown distrust amongst the masses in the mainstream media. I don't think any other Republican politician back then or even in the future will ever do it to the same extent that he did. It's really been quite incredible to the extent that he's managed to undermine their authority. It's been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Trump is and was the accelerationist candidate. As much as some people want Biden to get in because they think that's going to wake people up, I think surely it's better having Trump in place so that the media can keep attacking him with their ridiculous rhetoric, which people see as false and turns them off believing anything that the media has to say.
Everybody, what they said here was brilliant, so we can just move along.
Thank you. Mark. Serena JB, £3. Thank you very much, Serena. It's always great to see you. She says, the whole system is so disgusting, from the lack of action of Trump to the lies and machinations of the left. It's a scary world for pro-white dissidents everywhere in the West, but especially in the US. Well, yes, that's an interesting point, because at one point the US was seen as the safe place to be for those who who were on the dissident right. People could speak freely. It was the land of free speech and firearm ownership. You could say what you wanted. You could defend your home, and you could sit on your porch with a beer in one hand and a rifle in the other, saying exactly what you wanted. But America, it's not going to be that way for much longer. And I think it is a scary time ahead. And this is one of the important things about the people here on this panel and the people working in PA, the people working for White Wellbeing over in America. We are putting our heads above the parapet. We are going to be the ones that are attacked for doing this. But the fact of the matter is, despite it being a scary time for us, if we don't act now, there really isn't going to be a tomorrow to save. This is the do or die moment in Western civilization, because if we're not acting now, the only thing for the future is some massive rearguard action when we're a minority. What do you guys think to that? Will America continue to be a safe haven, or is America going to become basically what the former Soviet Union was?
Well, that's always been my fear, because really there is really no reason at all why any Western European nation, that includes United States, Australia, could become USSR-style totalitarian. There's no reason at all. People have deluded themselves. Absolutely. Hope, it's a bit different in the US because hopefully many states perhaps can secede, perhaps grassroots movements to get, you know, the states to secede. But obviously Jason would be more of an expert in that area. So there's a bit more hope there. Obviously, they do have guns, but obviously it's a bit pointless having guns if you can't use them. But obviously, when you've got black and Antifa mobs in the street, and if they get worse and worse, they probably will come in handy then if it, you know, got really, really bad. So at least people can defend themselves from the Reds, right?
We already see people who are defending themselves with guns and are sent to jail for that, like Rittenhouse.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. But so... On the one hand, yes, it's scary because right now, you know, France and the United States is where it's really just collapsing. But I'm still hopeful that things can resolve themselves. But obviously, America going forward for the rest of this century will look very different. I'll just say that much.
I would just say, yeah, I mean, As whites share of the population declines, I think this is the case in all countries. The idea is to reduce us to prey, and to like we'll be sort of just creatures who can be used for any kind of exploitation and humiliation, because you know we've been named the villains of history, and it's time for centuries of vengeance against us. I expect nothing but torment from that. So that's exactly why I think it's so important to wake people up to it. In America, obviously, it seems like that is, you know, I mean, they are at least, you know, whites are going to go below 50%. Whether they'll be treated with any sympathy or not, you know, I see no sign of it. All I see is calls for vengeance. And I see that not just from the extreme communist left, I see just from people like Robert Reich, who are sort of like, you know, middling left-wing people. They're calling for this truth and reconciliation stuff, by which they mean, you know, an anti-white inquisition at all levels of society. It's, you know, and that's why whites are still in the majority. So, you know, there's no depth to how bad it'll get. And I just think it makes for a dark future.
We have, if the votes on the Senate and for the House hold the way they are now, don't know, because the coup is underway here in the United States. Literally fire in the streets, and they're going to keep billionaires and trillionaires and millionaires are going to keep anti-white, violent anti-white hit squads in the streets so that Americans eventually say, look, I want life to return to normal. I'm tired of being afraid. I'm tired of the destruction, and just give the office to somebody. Just go ahead and give it to Biden. And that's what they want to do. So it's this multi-pronged attack. If it holds with the Senate and the House, then we'll have 2 years, because they'll be able to forestall to various degrees. Judges that Trump put in will be able to forestall to various degrees. The Supreme Court, as I said, Roberts was never really never really a conservative, if you will, and so have a what could be described as a staunch 5-4 lead on most issues. But will they keep the courts as they are? This is the thing. After the 2 years go by, there's no reason to believe if Trump does not fight for his election that he won, because clearly there is massive election fraud to the degree of being able to say, as an intelligent and honest person, to be able to say that it's a coup. If he doesn't fight and Biden takes his place, after this coming 2 years, they will then implement the strategies that they have promised to implement, the bills, everything that I was reading before that I have here, and resolutions, the acts, the treaties they want to sign. And they will do things like they will make Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia states, which will give Democrats more senators than Republicans could ever get elected. And they would do away with the filibuster, and they would pack the court. And for those who don't know what that means that they would increase the number of judges on the Supreme Court. They could all, or and other courts across the country, so that they can then staff those courts with anti-whites who will legislate from the bench, utterly illegal. But none of that matters when you're dealing with criminals. They could also impeach judges, and that would be another route that they could go. But it would be a fast track to hardcore Soviet-style oppression. And the only hope, and we've talked about this before, people talking, we had the comment just a moment ago about, well, could there be secession? No, there is no more lawful secession in the United States of America. It ended when the Confederate States of America lawfully seceded and then was invaded and defeated. So there is no more lawful secession. There would have to be a violent resistance. And there's no hope of a violent resistance without a pole, a gravitational pole around which people could come together. There is one if he chooses to be one, and that is if he loses this election that he won, and that would be Donald Trump. He could form an oppositional pole, and that's up to him. Without him doing that right now in the societal context we have, there's no hope of any sort of resistance after the 2 years we may have ahead of us. Hopefully it's at least four. Hopefully Trump fights like a wild dog in a dog fight and keeps the election that he won. And then we have at least 4 years before we see that sort of a tyranny.
Well, I'm hoping that Trump fights. I mean, I've just checked Fox News. I was having a look at various different websites, and Fox News are now saying that there is only a very narrow chance of Trump winning. Even they seem to have gone lockstep with what is being said. Going along with this, they're saying that Trump is contesting several of the states, but it's just amazing how this is going. I mean, I'll be looking forward to seeing what Tucker has to say about this, because like him or loathe him, I like the guy. He has the most popular political show in the whole of America, and I'll be very interested to see what he has to say. The next question is again from Blunderbuss, $3. Thank you very much. He said, thoughts on BitChute going down yesterday? Well, we spoke about this briefly at the beginning, and here you can see who was behind BitChute going down. I read this from the Jewish News Syndicate. According to pro-Israel lawyers and activists, in the context of rising anti-Semitism, public access to this platform, i.e. BitChute, and the site's active promotion of anti-Semitism are the cause for major alarm. Recently, social media companies are being pressured to clean their platforms of hate speech and adopt the international, the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. But this has led to anti-Semites and white supremacists to look for other places to share their content. Despite the site's community guidelines that say incitement to violence and malicious use of the platform will not be tolerated, on the site are pro-ISIS content, calls for the... I'm not going to read all this out because some of it might be mischaracterized coming from me. And there it says, a screenshot featuring anti-Semitic content on BitChute. Source, screenshot. And that is one of my videos, actually, about who runs the porn industry. Apparently telling the truth is anti-Semitic. I spoke about this briefly earlier. Other people can now chime in. I think the attack on BitChute was not an accident that it happened on election day. I think obviously all of this has been coordinated. I said that the social media companies coordinated with Biden. They coordinated with the mainstream media. This is a huge assault on us all. What do you think about the attacks on BitChute? Will they intensify? Go around the group, starting with you, Wes.
Was this British activists in triple parentheses, perhaps?
It was. They were the, I think they're called the Jewish Lawyers Association, something like that, pro-Israel lawyers, something like that. They were members of the tribe.
Mm. Well, I'll just, you know, try out the basic line of this is the result of, you know, a diverse multi-ethnic society, because you will have minority groups try and undermine the majority. You know, whether it be because they feel threatened or perhaps because they are a malicious group that want to do harm to others. I'm not going to say either, but yes, I'm not surprised yet again that we see the biggest calls for censorship comes from a particular demographic. It's something we see time and time again. Yeah, it's nothing new, is it?
I always just wonder with stuff like this, what is the long-term plan on their side? Like, I mean, you know, how do they expect this to end? Are they convinced? Are they utterly convinced that they're going to win? Because people will not forget someone putting their claws around their throats, which is, you know, what it's doing by this whole panoply of organizations. It's not just these guys. I actually didn't know these guys pursued, like, was it a UK Lawyers for Israel? I didn't even know they were like a group that tried to censor people. But you've got the Centre for Countering Digital Hate, you've got Hope Not Hate, you've got Board of Deputies gets involved in these things sometimes, you've got the Community Security Trust and a whole load of others that I've played out in videos of mine that are on BitChute that I got banned from YouTube for putting on there. If anyone wants to see them, the first one's called Against Brian and Avi. There's also a sequel. It's on my BitChute channel, which is called Horus. And yeah, there's just a range of organizations, almost all of them either founded, funded, or led by Jews of left and right. It's not a left wing or right wing thing, as some people objected. It's something that unites, if anything, it unites Zionists with communists who ostensibly are so opposed to each other. who form both the protagonists and the antagonists in the struggle over the quote labor anti-Semitism scandal. Turns out, actually, that's just, you know, one side and a controlled opposition. But yeah, there's a range of these organizations, and they are working to destroy our societies. It's as simple as that. And this is, you know, one of the key elements in doing so. And the traitors like the Tory party go along with everything they do.
Well, of course, the Tory party would go along with it because they seek to lose just as much as Labour does by you know, exposing people to the reality of what's going on. They don't want people realizing that they're not doing anything to fight for the people who voted for them. And of course, our enemies are going to keep going after BitChute harder and harder. They want to crack down on any alternative information sources. I think they're already trying to go after DLive in much the same way and deny us anywhere that we can put our views out. And they won't even stop at, you know, they won't even stop at deplatforming us from talking to others. They'll take your bank accounts away and everything. And they will quite happily have you starve to death because you dare to speak out against what they do.
What everyone said was brilliant. Yeah, the tech giants are run by anti-whites, staffed by anti-whites, dominated by anti-whites. And you'll see, just as you saw during the previous administrations where Democrats are in office, where these whistleblowers come forward and they're going to be prosecuted about what's taking place in these empires, these tech empires. And they are going, I'm seeing what they, how many, let me just say, how many other, I had a list somewhere of, I have been kicked off of nearly as many platforms as platforms that I was on were destroyed by the anti-whites. And so the whole platform disappeared. So it's endless. And as they accrue more power, they will just continue to censor voices that speak to a reality that contradicts the anti-white narrative.
Thank you, guys. I've got a very generous super chat here. It's from Jez, and he gave £88. Thank you very much, my friend. And he says, white brothers across the world need to unite like never before, perhaps taking a leaf out of the book of another tribe. Well, I completely agree with you, Jez. A little bit of context here. Jez is the man that I have been training at the gym, and we had a great session today. He's doing really, really well. He is really, although he was quite disparaging of our first training session until a day later when he couldn't move his arms. But Jez is a fantastic guy. He is doing great things. And it's really unfortunate because we're really getting into the swing of it, training hard. It's a great thing to get into shape. But that's all ruined now because we're going into a lockdown in an hour and 15 minutes and every gym in the country is closed for at least a month. Well, thank you very much for the very generous super chat, Jez. It's been fantastic training with you, and I hope to resume as soon as we possibly can, my friend. Thank you.
Well, you say that's all for nothing now. Do you have no confidence that he will continue this regime without your overseeing and guidance?
No, what happens is once you've been to the gym and you start training, the hardest bit of training is starting to train. And Jez was right. The first time you train any muscle, it feels like tenderized meat for the next couple of days. But then once you've trained it a couple of times, you get used to training it and your training accelerates then quite rapidly, especially if you're eating the right food. And the problem is with a break in training, such as the one we're going to have, a month's break in training, that means you not only lose a lot of your gains, but your muscles kind of reset themselves and you have to get over that initial hump again. It's like taking your car to a complete halt, turning it off. You have to start it again. And starting the car is unfortunately something that puts more wear and tear on the engine than just running the car. That's a difficult bit for the vehicle. It's a difficult bit for your muscles getting started again. And for me personally, it's especially galling because I lost a huge amount of muscle mass and got into not the best shape because of the previous lockdown. Now, it's taken me several months to build my muscle back. And I was actually saying to Jez today, I'm only a tiny way off my previous bests again. So I'm almost, even at 40, I'm, you know, in weight training terms, I'm almost back to my previous best. And it's taken me a good few months to get back there. And now, boom, I've been hit with all these crap lockdowns. And what am I going to do? It's going to be back, not maybe to square one for me, but you're getting knocked back down that ladder again. And unfortunately, it's another climb. You can do things at home. You can do body weight exercises, but it's not the same as going to the gym. And these lockdowns are ridiculous. We've not really talked about this today, but there was an article in the Telegraph, and it was saying all of this nonsense about hospital beds filling up is exactly that nonsense. Like, in fact, I'm going to read this off my phone because we've not had much time to knock the coronavirus nonsense today, but this is from the Daily Telegraph, 3rd of November. Hospital intensive care no busier than normal for most trusts. Leaked documents show. Update seen by Telegraph shows capacity tracking is normal for beginning of November with usual numbers of beds available. Yet here we've got these, let's call them criminals in the Tory party, who are basically lying to us to keep us trapped in our homes and ruining, you know, people's livelihoods, people's health and fitness, people's relationships. The Tories are absolutely despicable. Absolutely despicable. These people, you know, nothing, no punishment would be too severe for Boris Johnson and his band of cronies. They are absolute detestable scum. And to the, and I'm going to go even further than this because I'm on one now. You've got me riled up by mentioning this. I know you were being lighthearted, but I'm furious about this. And all these clowns in parties like For Britain who were cheering when Boris Johnson got in, who thought Boris Johnson was going to ride in on some white horse, stop immigration, deliver Brexit and give us our freedom back. Well, what's he done? The exact opposite. We've got no Brexit. We've got record numbers of immigrants coming in. And record numbers of non-white, non-European immigrants, which makes it even worse. And on top of that, we've got less freedom than we've ever had before. And this is all Boris Johnson and his so-called conservatives. These people, as I said, scum, absolute scum. They're destroying this country, possibly the most anti-white government we've ever had. Horace, you've unmuted. If you're sick of me ranting, you can say a bit now.
All I have to say is, well said, mate. I could not agree more. That's it.
Oh, thank you. We've got two more super chats for Camaraderie. He said, gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, Guten Abend, comrades. I probably pronounced that awfully. Jason has the best knowledge on this subject, withstanding the underhanded tactics. I feel, regardless, that Trump will be out, but people's voices will still be stifled. God bless America. The South will rise again. Well, thank you very much, my friend. Dark times, but we have to keep on fighting, and I'm not going to let this stop me. Storks gave $5. Thank you very much. And he said, will there be any reaction from the white militias? Well, that's a question for Jason. Do you think the white militias will do anything? Do you think there will be anyone rising up in America and protesting on behalf of Trump?
There will be people who will get into the streets for Trump. It's not going to be the militias, because they're cowards who like to count how many bullets and MREs they have. The people who get out on the streets are going to be a bunch of ladies who are sick and tired of this, all of the corruption, who are sick and tired of being afraid of the anti-whites in the streets, raping them, beating them, burning their places of work down, their places of worship down, their historical records, white erasing us from civilization, even if they're not talking about the white erasure as such, and sick and tired of the fear that their children have to experience living in the hell that anti-whites create, a daily hell. It'll be those ladies and their husbands, and they're going to, some of them are going to look quite sort of goofy because that's just how they look, but they're red-blooded, honest, hardworking Americans. What will happen, though, I have no doubt, is that a bunch of these militia types are going to get together and they're going to have big talk about what they could do and what would be next and who they should, what targets they should hit. And it's all just going to be braggadocious with no teeth behind it. But the FBI is going to be listening. And since the FBI is staffed by nothing but anti-white cretins and Muppets, they are going to bring these people up on charges before they actually do anything, before they get close to actually formulating anything. But the media will all tell us, oh, no, this was a plan that was about to take place, foiled at the last minute, proving the anti-white narrative, and it will be used and cited in Congress to pass more of this legislation that we talked about. So don't rely on those cowards counting the bullets and the MREs. And coloring the maps up on their walls in their basements. They're going to do nothing but get us into more trouble. If you want to look for people who are actually going to accomplish something, it's these very normal looking, some of them overweight Americans who are going to get out in the streets and be upset. But also look for the federal and state governments to not protect these people in the same way that Antifa and BLM and all the rest are protected, these anti-white groups, when they get out into the streets. So that's what I would say about the so-called militias.
Well, thank you. And we've got one. We'll do the top. We'll do the top non-paid question. Remember, thank you for everyone who super chatted. You still got time if you want to make a donation. But we do have non-paid questions as well. Rory Herbert got the top voted question this week, and it's for Jason. And he said, Jason, my wife had to provide her social security number in order to get an absentee ballot paper in order to vote from the UK. Why doesn't the USA do that for mail-in ballot papers?
Because the Democrats commit election fraud, and they want individuals who are citizens, not citizens, dead, wildlife, they want them all to be able to vote, fictional people. They've been caught doing all of that sort of thing. And that is why we are not allowed. That is why the anti-whites who call themselves Democrats have prevented sensible, sane, and voting regulations in the United States. It's all about election fraud. And then guaranteed, once they have the voting base that deliver them to power in every election cycle, those laws will go into place. Because then it will protect the power that they have achieved.
Thank you. And we have one more question, which we've just got time for. We can just squeeze this one in. Kieran B said, what do you see being the end result of all of this? Do you think Trump could win via the Supreme Court? I don't know. Even though it is a Republican Supreme Court, you know what? I don't have any faith in them acting on his behalf. I don't have any faith in the judiciary whatsoever. The judiciary are part of the deep state. I think many of them, even the ones he's appointed, would turn on him and stab him in the back to serve the globalist agenda. What do you guys think? Do you think the Supreme Court would act on his behalf? I mean, this is really a question for, well, anyone who wants it. Do you think the Supreme Court could save him?
No.
Yeah, I think the odds are against it. I mean, yeah, not a certain no, but very unlikely.
People point out, well, he's got a Republican majority, but it's like, yeah, but that's the problem. They're Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
Half of the Republican Party establishment or more is against Trump. It's only the actual voters who are in favor of him.
This is the whole problem across the whole of the West. It's the phony right. If we can clear them out of the way, we can start fighting the left. Until then, it's just we're just being sat upon by the phonies.
I couldn't agree more, mate. There's a whole chapter in my book about conservatism being a false salvation for Western man. And I've got to say this. No party in the UK has offered more to the white traditionalist majority, but taken away so much. The Conservative Party always offers everything, always gives those dog whistles, is always giving that wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We're going to do the right thing by you guys, only to take away more from the white traditionalist majority than the previous Labour government would ever have dreamed of doing. You have to remember, it was a Conservative government that passed gay marriage, only for the leaders at the time to proclaim that gay marriage was a fundamental Conservative cornerstone. Unbelievable. These people are just reprehensible.
And they voted for Labour's Equality Act just before the 2010 election, the most extreme left, anti-white, anti-family piece of legislation in British history. The Tories chose to vote for it in opposition.
We should just do an entire stream, you and I, just ragging on the Tory party.
Absolutely. I think it's really worthwhile as well. And my next video will be, it's actually called The Traitor Party, so you might enjoy that as well. But the other thing I would add is that they're always covered for by the fake right media, like the Daily Mail, the Telegraph, the Times. They all play their part as well. The Sun, all of them, just drawing people into this swamp of uselessness and betrayal.
Well, look, when you do that video, zip it over to me. And if it's a bit shoot exclusive or hard to find, I'll push it out for you to get everyone watching it. But thank you. And we have one last silly question. It's from J.R. Hartley. And he says, does Jason like Waldorf salad?
Waldorf salad? I don't think I've had that. Sounds like it could be good.
I'm not sure I know what that is. I'm going to Google that in case it's something that is like one of these trendy things that people talk about on the internet. And it's like a big joke. Is it a big... No, it's not a big joke. It is a Waldorf salad is a fruit and nut salad generally made of fresh apples, celery, walnuts and grapes, dressed in mayonnaise and traditionally served on a bed of lettuce as an appetizer or a light meal.
Well, it sounds pretty good. It would be, since it sounds like there's so much fruit, it would have to just be the only sugar for the day. But yeah, sounds like it could be good.
Yes. Well, on that bombshell, it brings us to about the end of the show. So I'm going to throw it around to everyone. Thank you for being here, guys. Thank you to Renew Britannia, Euro and Horus. Quick outros from you all. Wesley, where can we find you, my friend? And 10 out of 10 to me tonight for not calling you Harry.
Yes. Well done, Mark, for getting my name right this time. It's been a pleasure being on the show. Thank you very much for inviting me. Obviously, I had my channel terminated today, but I did actually announce on my last Sunday show that I was going to be on hiatus anyway till the end of the year. So I was going to retire for a couple of months and then make a return. Obviously, that's been a sort of nail in the coffin now anyway, but I will hope to produce more content in the future. But we'll have to see how I manage to do that, obviously. But I do, nevertheless, have a Telegram, DLive, and a BitChute, and they're all just Renew Britannia, so I'm sure people can find their way to those. I will still be in the British nationalist scene, so obviously still jumping on live streams, and for the time being, I'm still doing Patriotic Talk, the after show, which is 9 o'clock on Monday, so that's me.
Thank you very much. Euro, my friend, where can we find you, you lovable rogue?
Well, thanks for having me on again, Mark, and for coming on our stream last night. If you want to hear more of me or my co-hosts on The Absolute State of Britain, you can find us at therightstuff.biz, or you can find our Telegram channel, t.me/absolutebritain, and you'll get links there. We do have a YouTube channel, but it's very rarely used, so we'll always post links to it if we're going to stream it there, and I don't expect it to last too long if it gets used more frequently.
Well, thank you very much. Horace, you were late. I was angry, but you have redeemed yourself. Where can we find you?
I was going to say, I'm so sorry for being late. Apologies, everyone. But thanks for having me on. It's great to be on. Yeah, I'm Horace on BitChute, if BitChute lasts. If BitChute gets taken down, I'll be on LBRY, I guess, or Library or whatever. And if not, you know, I'll be on the next thing, because this is guerrilla warfare. Wesley, keep fighting, mate. We're guerrilla fighters, you know. And thanks to all you guys. And I've got Horace Live channel on YouTube as well, which I do occasional live streams on. There's one on there at the moment, which I'll take down soon, but it will go on the BitChute.
Excellent, thank you. And Jason, my friend, how can we find you, and who's on tap?
No Wine Guilt on YouTube for now, and we don't know who's on tap yet. Probably on Thursday or Saturday we'll have the show. Apologies to Renew Britannia losing his channel. I've lost several of mine. I know how that is, and that's wretched, losing all your work. Great, though, appearing with you today, having you on the show, and Euro and Horace again. Wonderful lads, as you all say. Wonderful to be with you all. And I'm going to be going live very briefly, just talking about how we could potentially get to a President Nancy Pelosi over the interim of these cases moving through the courts. So I pass it back. And Mark, of course, a big Promethean hails to you. Thank you so much for what you do. Folks, we have to be sticking together now more than ever. Crowd around Mark Collett, because you know the anti-whites are going to be after him.
Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for everyone for being here. Look, I've been on this roller coaster today. I've been, up late last night, up till about 2:30 in the morning, back up at 6. It's been a non-stop day, but we're still going to keep fighting, even if Trump doesn't prevail. I think this is the greatest electoral fraud the West has ever seen. I think it's an absolute scandal, but it goes to show just how rigged the system is, even against former media darling billionaires. Anyone who says anything even remotely good for white people will be attacked, will be demonized, will be ripped down. And we can see now how quickly the mainstream media, social media, the deep state and the establishment parties and those within establishment institutions can close ranks. They are working lockstep against white people. This is dark times, but we have to keep fighting on. We are still smiling. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I think it's been a great show. I will be back on YouTube tomorrow night with Full Moon Ancestry. I will be on the Dr. David Duke show on Friday. I have a video coming out on YouTube and BitChute on Friday. There is plenty to look forward to. We will keep on fighting. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Wesley. Thank you, Euro. Thank you, Horace. Thank you, Jason. Thank you to everyone who donated so very, very generously. It really is touching to see your generosity. Thank you so much. These donations are what keep us going. They're what keep my head above water. They what allow me to keep doing what I do, especially in these dark and lean times. Thank you so much. But thank you most of all to this incredible community. We had nearly 1,900 watching live on DLive, with 700 watching live on Radio Albion. Again, fantastic numbers. Thank you. This community is absolutely spectacular. I love you all. Stay strong. Keep your head up high. And let's hope for the best. Let's hope that in these dark times, we manage to prevail, and let's hope somehow Trump manages to overturn this scandalous electoral fraud. Thank you, guys. Good night. Stay safe, and I'll see you all again soon. We will be back next week, and we have some great guests coming up. Hopefully, Jared Taylor will be coming on again soon. We have reached out to him, and also I've been in talks with Morgoth, who should be joining us next week. Thank you. I'll see you all then, and good night.